right, everybody, come on. Welcome to a brand new series we are calling Miracles. I'm very expectant during this series, and my hope is that this really stirs and not only just inspires, but stirs your faith to believe God for more and to believe God specifically for miracles in your life. Here's what I believe. I know that there are people here this morning that need a miracle in their life. I believe that today. And so I want to just let you know today that Elevate City is a church that believes in the supernatural power of God. And we believe that God is still in the business of doing miracles today. So he's still healing people, still touching people and moving in a miraculous way. And so my hope is that we just begin to raise our level of faith and let's believe God for more. Let's believe God for beyond where we're at and just launch into the deep with him. And so what I want to do this morning is kind of a little bit different than how I normally do my messages, but I want to kind of do a verse by verse study in the book of John. We're going to get to that in just a moment, but there were some incredible miracles that Jesus did in his time. When you look all throughout the Gospels, it's one of the things I just enjoy reading is the miracles that Jesus did is raising people from the dead. Come on, how many would love to be a part of that kind of experience? Talk to me. I mean, I read those and I'm just stirred in my faith that one day that'll happen. And to see the blind see and the deaf hear, miracles that Jesus did, laying hands on the sick and seeing them recovered. And so we believe that God is still doing that today, and we know he is. And some of you have experienced the miraculous, and I'm praying that for those that haven't, do in Jesus' name. But one of the greatest miracles that we can ever experience is just joining and stepping into an authentic relationship with Jesus. The miracle of a changed life, that's what it's all about. And so our hope is through this series that you're going to be stirred on many levels. But here's what I know is that many times we go through seasons and weeks that and even months that can be very difficult and tough for us, and tough to kind of continue to stir our faith to see the miraculous continue to happen. And so I want to start off in a verse of scripture here in John chapter 14. You'll probably hear me refer to this from time to time in this message here today, but I love it. Jesus said this, "I tell you the truth." He said, "Anyone who has," notice this, "faith in me will do what I have been doing." I think that's awesome. I think it's great that we have the ability through Christ to do what he did when he was on the earth. And when you read in the scriptures, that's why I love the Bible so much, because it's a story about a bunch of just messed up people. But we can grow as close to God as anybody in our Bibles. But the decision is ultimately up to you. And so I love how Jesus said, "Hey, you can do what I've been doing." But I love this next part. Because the next part are for those that God is saying that really have an ear to hear. And he said this, he will even do greater things. He said, so he will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. I don't know about you, but I desire to be a part of the greater things. I desire for whatever God wants for my life, that I'm a part of him doing something greater in me and then also helping to see God do greater things in the lives of people. And so I believe that God wants to do a miracle in your life. I believe that, and my hope this morning is that you will be stirred to believe that God wants to do that as well in your life and in your family and in anywhere that you go and anything that you would touch. And so, but I want to start off this morning with really the first miracle that took place, because it was a pretty cool miracle. It was when Jesus turned the water into wine, and the neat thing about this is where it took place at. And it actually took place at a wedding. And so I don't know how many weddings you've been to, but if you've been to any wedding, you'll know there's usually pretty high expectations for everything to go right. All right, especially, you know, the brides really appreciate when everything goes right. All right, come on, ladies, help me this morning, all right? And so here he was in a place where he was going to do this miracle. But, you know, I've done a lot of weddings in my time, and I've seen some beautiful weddings, and I've seen some kind of disastrous weddings, all right? I've seen some weddings go pretty smooth and some weddings go pretty bad. I've seen some grooms sweat profusely. You know, I've seen them forget their vows. You know, I've seen the moments where the candles don't light, you know, just things that just don't go properly, or when the wedding party shows up about 15-20 minutes late, it's happened. And so those are frustrating times that can be. But so here is, I think, a great picture of just life. Because I believe at some place that we have these expectations, all of us, that we want to see some things happen in our life. And my hope today is that you're believing with God for those things to happen. But for some that we have maybe experienced what Scripture calls hope deferred. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And maybe we've just had some expectations and believing for things that just haven't panned out quite like we were hoping it would be. But here's what I know. I know that regardless of wherever you're at this morning, that God knows exactly what he's doing. And the key for us is to rest and then lean into our relationship with him, knowing he really does know what he's doing in our life. And so it's important. So that Jesus' first miracle here takes place when expectations are at a high level. Let's pick it up in John chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. It says, on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. It's important to watch this, how his mother was present during this. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding when the wine was gone. So the wine was gone, and Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Now, that may not seem like a social disaster to you, but you have to understand the cultural implications during this time. Because in Jewish traditions, the feast was more important than the actual ceremony. Like, yeah, getting your grub on, man, was more important and making sure the feast went right more than the actual ceremony. So it's like having a wedding today and you planning a wedding reception, but there's no food at your wedding reception. I mean, you're going to have some disappointed guests. Talk to me. You know what I mean? I mean, just if you invite me to your wedding reception, like, I want to eat something. You know what I mean? So that's kind of the implications that were taking place during this time. But what is so powerful that we pick up in this story is something that I truly believe goes a lot deeper than what we really see. Because there's a Jewish saying that I think is so funny, so cool, you name it, but that says, without wine, there is no joy. Yeah, without wine, there is no joy. So here's what that shows us. In this story, wine is actually symbolic of joy. And so what has happened is they are now a people without joy. And so one of the first miracles that Jesus deals with us is the emptiness of life. Maybe you're in a place today that you have felt that way, that you feel like your expectations have been dashed and you're dealing with disappointment. I think it's one of the great diseases that Jesus ministers to, because sometimes being in a place without hope and being hopeless is I think, sometimes worse than actual sickness. And it really affects. And so many people today that we see just running through culture because we have such a high-faced, high-paced culture, I think are running on empty. I think there's a lot of people in the world today that are in a place that they're angry, they're upset, and have experienced what they feel like maybe hope deferred in their own life and journey. And they may feel and try to broadcast that they're good on the outside when really they're miserable on the inside. And so Jesus was trying to touch the very heart of the matter for all of us, those that deal with loneliness, those that deal with depression, those of us that may feel empty inside. So when we're dealing with disappointments and our expectations are dashed in those situations, here's what I know. It's sometimes, and I've been there, and I still have moments like this, that it's hard to maintain that level of faith and believing God for the miraculous. But God is continually asking us to not stop believing. He wants us to continue to believe, continue. It's just a posture. It's just a way of life that we continue to believe and trust that he knows a lot better than we do. And so when we're running on empty, here's what we find, that oftentimes we respond not the right way. And so now if you're following along in your notes, jot this first one down, because this is what we do. We focus on our feelings instead of faith. We tend to focus more on the natural implications of things or the natural problem as opposed to focusing on the spiritual solution. John 2:3, back in the story, this part of the verse said, and when the wine was gone. So you gotta understand the story is, here's a married couple now that's happily married, just married, but now they've got great frustration because they're focused on something that really is just very superficial. But My question is for us today is, how many times do we come into that place when we have a difficult situation arise that we lose our perspective, that we start focusing more on the earthly facts instead of focusing on the spiritual solution and staying in tune with what God is wanting for our lives. So we think our world is falling apart. We think God is nowhere to be found, and he's not going to respond, and he's not going to answer. And really, the enemy starts coming in and beginning to spit some lies in our heart, in our lives, and trying to get us to believe that. And so Job was in a place where you talk about, man, a dude that went through some stuff. Like, if you ever get an opportunity to study the book of Job, I mean, do it. It's pretty intense. It's an intense book. But here's a guy that lost everything. I mean, a guy that was doing awesome, and then all of a sudden loses his family, loses his livelihood, everything, and was in a place of desperation that I think maybe a few of us could be in here today. And he said this in Job 30, verse 20. He said, I call to you, O God, but you never answer. And when I pray, and some of us are feeling like this morning, that, Lord, you're not really paying attention to what's happening in my life. And so we try to figure out what's going on, and we start really drafting up, I think, wrong conclusions in our life. And we become convinced, because of how the enemy tries to work and manipulate, that God is just disinterested with us, or God is mad at me. And let me just say, God is not mad at you. He loves you. He is so in love with you. But we get in a place that we hear these lies of the enemy, and even sometimes from people that, well, you know, God is, he's just deaf, or he's dead, and he's not real. And so these thoughts start illuminating, and we start believing something that just simply is not true. But could it be that while you think God isn't up to something, that he's totally up to something, even though you can't see it? Could it be this morning that God is trying to get our attention to say, hey, your breakthrough's right on the other side. Don't quit. Keep believing. Keep asking. Keep trusting me. You know, there's a scripture that, as I was just praying last night, that the Lord had just brought me back to, one that I just grew up knowing out of Isaiah 45:15. It's not in your notes. You can go look at it later. But it's a simple one, that God moves in mysterious ways. Like, I love that part about the attribute of God, of who he is, because your God is so cool that he loves to blow your mind. Like, your God is so awesome that he does things just, I think, on purpose, just to kind of show off. Like, hey, this is my power, man. Like, this is what I can do if you can believe in me. You know, like, he just does stuff that I think is just amazing. And what he's trying to get us to understand is, I'm going to do things the way I want. You just need to trust that I'm working it out. You know, I looked up the word mysterious, too, just because I thought it would be interesting. And it says this. It means impossible to understand or to try to explain. You know, God is a God to be experienced. He's a God to be encountered. And so God will do things that's not on your brain waves, I promise you. Most of what God does is going to be way beyond you, because we need that kind of God that is much bigger than our intellect. Help me, somebody. And so we need a God that is already well ahead and not just where we're at. And that's why he knows the end from the beginning. And I'm so glad that he does. So he's not surprised by what happens to us. God's just trying to help us not only get through it, but build something in us to launch us into the place that he has for us to be. And so he's a God that works in mysterious ways. And I love that side of our God. The second thing that I know that we do is when we think, man, God is he's just delayed. Like, he's got my life on pause, is we take matters into our own hands. This is a dangerous place, because I think we've all done this. We've all looked at our current situation and thought, well, God is wherever he's at. You know, I'm just gonna figure this out on my own. And I want to point something out in this scripture. Jesus and his mother are guests, but for whatever reason, his mom feels like she's got to intervene. And so you'll notice in verse 3 there, it said, Jesus' mother said to him. And so really nobody knows why she got involved. She just kind of stuck her nose in somebody else's business that she shouldn't have been. Like, it ain't even her wedding. Like, mama, what you doing? You know what I mean? Like, you know, mow your own backyard. Just tend there, all right? Just chill out, mama. You know what I mean? But yet she feels a need to respond, even though it wasn't her wedding. And here's what I think that shows for us is, sometimes we grow impatient. Oh, I'm not talking to anybody that's never been impatient here before, I guess. I mean, we grow impatient. Anybody ever been impatient? Some of y'all impatient right now. Hurry up and preach, Pastor, all right? You know? But we grow in a place that we're impatient, come on, and just getting honest here this morning. And then what happens when we're not careful, because we try to take things in our own hands, is we start trying to play God. Yeah, we start trying to draw up conclusions and how we're going to do this and going to do that. It might be a good idea to include God, but yeah, I'm not hearing. Yeah, so we just need to do it. And the greatest thing we can do is wait. I know it's hard, but wait on Him. Wait for His voice. Wait for His direction. It'll save you. I'm telling you, a lot of drama in your life too when you do things God's way. And so a lot of times we get out of our grace zone and start making matters worse by us getting our hands all up in stuff that our hands just don't need to be in. And if you've ever done that before, because I have, I don't know if any of y'all ever done that, put your hands and stuff, just done, it just gets messy, doesn't it? Gets more frustrating. It's a very, very depleting place to be. Isaiah 30:15, it says, "In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength." Man, underline that if you're following along. It's good. But you would have none of it. God is saying this: I want you to stay steady. I want you to be patient on me. Instead of just trying to take over, I want you to wait on me. And here's really the last tendency that I think that we have when we're dealing with disappointment, and that's we exaggerate the negative. It's all of a sudden it becomes worse than what it really is. And so Mary didn't come to Jesus with hope and expectation. This is the side of this story that just is a head scratcher, because I'm like, Mary, here is mom. You know, like, all you could inspire some hope in this situation, you know, and she's got a chance to say, man, something great can happen. Instead, Mary is Captain Obvious when she says, she focuses more on the problem by saying, hey, there's no more wine. Like, it's gone. You know, okay, well, thank you so much, Mother, for pointing out the problem, all right? So here's a real issue, though, that she's pointing this out. And what happens, though, is we start exaggerating, sometimes embellishing, and just, it's gloom and doom. You know, we start having moments, and some of them, some of those times, real misery, and even some real dark depression, and we say things like, man, if it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. And we just start exaggerating those things, and we go through difficult times and feeling like, man, the world is going to end, it's going to collapse on us, and we make the molehill a mountain. You know, it's all of a sudden it's a huge deal. And again, it's why I love the Bible, because for the answers and the direction that we need in our life, everything is found in the Bible. Everything that you need for your life is in that book. And so we got some guys that we can relate with, because I think at some point all of us have probably exaggerated the negative. And so here's King David. Man, this guy sometimes had just drama attached to him. And here he is. He's in a moment where he's exaggerating the negative here in Psalm 116. He says this. He's going through some stuff. And he says, the cords of death have entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me, and I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. I mean, just doom and gloom. Jeremiah, he was having a bad hair day too. Check out. I mean, he was frustrated. He said, man, why was I born? Was it only to have trouble and sorrow and just to end my life in disgrace? I mean, can you see yourself? You know, when I was reading these scriptures, I'm thinking, man, I've sounded like David before. You know, but we have these moments, and we got to be careful not to exaggerate the negative. And when we're in prayer, we need to spend more time telling God, not about your problem, but telling your problem about how big your God is. And so we get so focused on what's happening and so focused on the negative. I'm just encouraging you, whatever it is in your life today, that you can trust God, that you can believe that He can do whatever He said He was going to do, and greater things will happen. Everybody shout greater things. So we've all faced, you know, problems and things like this. So how do we, man, God, how do we see that water turn into wine in our lives? How do we see you fill our cup again? How do we be a part of the solution and run in faith and to get ultimately our joy back? First of all, I want to just say this, because I want to challenge you in your faith today. When I came here for a mission this morning in both services, and that was to stir up your faith in Jesus' name, because God desires to do a supernatural work in your life. But my question for you today is, are you hungry for more of God? Are you hungry for the supernatural power of God? Are you hungry for him to do a miracle in your life? And only you can answer that. But I'm just encouraging us. Let's just not go in survival mode and just live life here in Fort Wayne. No, let's make a difference while we still got breath in our lungs. And let's see greater things happen through our lives in Jesus' name. Like, we're not just, it's not, I'm not cool with just, hey, you know, we'll do great services, have a great experience on Sundays and small groups. We do this because we're trying to reach as many people as we can in our city. And we're not going to stop because we desire to see the miraculous happen. Why can't Fort Wayne be a city for God? For real. Like, why can't our city be known as a city that loves Jesus and see that broadcasted on the news somewhere? I'm tired of everything else being broadcasted. Let's see a city be one for Jesus. Come on, somebody. Y'all with me today? Why not? He's the God of the miraculous, everybody. God of the miraculous. You got to believe. And so here I want you to see in our first point here this morning is how Jesus did this miracle and the implication, how this is important for you. Number one, jot this down this morning. Do what Jesus says to do. Very simply put, do what Jesus says to do. Mary remembers in this verse that her son, he works in some strange ways. And in verse 5, she responds, she said, his mother said to the servants, hey, do whatever he tells you to do. Now, why would she say that? She knew that what Jesus was getting ready to say wasn't going to make sense. Yeah, it ain't going to make sense. Hey, fellas, like he's going to tell you something. It's going to sound crazy, but do it. Because when he does it, something great's going to happen. But the key is you've got to do exactly what Jesus is saying to do. Don't do what you want to do. Just hang in there and listen to the direction that he's giving you and do what he said to do. No, don't overanalyze it because we all do that. We have moments where we just kind of analyze it. No. God is bigger than your brain, and you better thank God that he's bigger than your brain. So don't overanalyze it. Don't try to over-theologize about it. You know, Nike had it right when they said, just do it. So just do it. Look at your neighbor and say, just do it. Come on, look at the person that you didn't want to tell the second choice and tell them, just do it. Come on. And so Mary knew that. But I think sometimes the struggle is we're just trying to figure it out. Listen, he's a God to be experienced. And when the miracle happens, trust me, you ain't going to question how the miracle happened. You're just going to thank God it happened. So know that a miracle's in motion, and God has his perfect timing and what he's doing and when he's going to do it. Amen, Pastor. Thank you so much. Amen. It's good preaching. Amen. I'll amen myself up here today. I don't care. All right. Isaiah chapter 55. This is a scripture, I think, for some of us that we need to get in our spirit, not just in our head. Because I think this verse of scripture right here can help some of us. Just, we need to relax. And it says this plan of mine is not what you would work out. So know that you've been trying to think I'm going to work it out. Neither are my thoughts the same as yours. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours and my thoughts than yours. I've said this once, I'll say it again. We need to be a people very thankful that the Lord does not think the way that we do. And none of us would be here today if that were the case. Amen. So his ways and his thoughts are higher. He doesn't think like us. And we got to be mindful of that and know that. So one of my favorite stories, one of the miracles that Jesus did was when he healed one of the blind guys. Now, let me set this story up real quick. This is a guy that was blind from birth. And so they're coming along and the disciples are asking the question, you know, was it because his parents, you know, what they did? And then Jesus just kind of did away with that. He said, no, we're just going to touch this guy and he's going to be healed. But I love what Jesus did. Because Jesus got real radical, goes to the guy, and he spits on the ground. And then all this, I mean, imagine with me this morning that you were present during this and watching Jesus just spit a loogie on the ground. I mean, who knows? I don't know what was in the spit. But anyways, he just spit. That's all we know. All right. And he spits on the ground, and he forms mud. And he takes that, and he puts it on the man's eyes. Then he tells the man, hey, I want you to go wash in the pool. And the Bible said he went and did that, and when he washed, that he could see again. Listen, I'm telling you, he is a God to be experienced, everybody. And why did he do that? I don't have a clue, but here's what I know. The guy's thankful he can see, right? Amen? And here's something, if you're following along in your notes today, you need to understand this, because this is the point. Listen, you'll never get a miracle in your life if you insist on always trying to understand it. And God is not looking for us to just understand him. He's looking for our obedience. That's what he's doing. And he's wanting us to come closer, close enough that we know that no matter what's going on in our lives, man, all I know is God's got this. And I pray that we come to that level of maturity in the things of God, that no matter what happens, because the scripture says in this life we're going to have trouble. So we're not trying to paint a picture where you and I are never going to have issues or trouble. It's just, it's going to happen. We live in a fallen world. But even when those happen, that we can stand in faith and say, I don't know how it's going to happen, but when it happens, it's going to be awesome. He's going to show off, man. He's going to take care of us. He's got this. He's got this. And knowing and being confident in that. Number two is focus on what God wants to do in you. I love this next part of this story. Verse 6, nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus took a cool opportunity to solve a problem here and really to tell the truth, because this particular verse really was unrelated to the water turning into the wine moment. So I call this a twofer. Look at your neighbor and say, this is a twofer. So this is a twofer. Two in one here. Two lessons in one. So the jars that he's talking about, and I encourage you can read the rest of this story in your own time. He took something for external ceremonial cleansing to show how he wants to bring life to dead religion. And I think it's awesome. And so God wants to do a miracle in our physical bodies. He wants to do a miracle in your life, but he is more interested in doing something in you. I am convinced God is way more concerned with your character than your comfort. Because listen, you're taking your character into eternity, not your career. And so God is molding you into the man or the woman that he has destined for you to be. And that's why for some of us, maybe we feel like our miracle has been delayed or on pause. And I want you to know that God can use whatever trouble that the enemy has tried to bring to you to do a miracle in your life and to help shape our character along the way. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. I want to give you just some advice, just real practical, real simple. You know, when you feel like things are not, you're praying for a miracle, you feel like, man, things are taking a long time. Like, why isn't this happening? Don't pray, God, why are you taking so long? But shift your prayer and to say, God, what is it you're trying to do in me? What is it that you're trying to show me? Is it a character thing? Do I need to grow in some character stuff? Like, what is it that you're trying to do in this season in my life? And then here's the third principle that we learn in this powerful miracle is we've got to believe the unbelievable. You got to trust God. You got to know that, listen, he's not at the size of your brain. He's going to do things beyond our thinking. He turned water into wine. Then watch this. In verse 8, it says, then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that it had been turned into wine, and he did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Let me say this again. We serve a God of miracles. We serve a God who is still in the miracle business, all right? And it wouldn't be called a miracle if it didn't blow your mind. I don't know about you, but I'm just in a place and in a season, and I'm believing this season is not just going to be one, but I've come into 2016 absolutely refusing for this to be the same kind of other daggone year that it's been. There's just something in my spirit that is more desperate, and I'm in a place that I'm saying, God, we want to see the miraculous. We want to see it in our church. We want to see it in our city. We want to see it in Indiana. We want to see it in this nation. And I'm telling you, God is looking for a bunch of people who are crazy enough to believe and have a desperation to say, God, we want to be a part of the greater things. that are not just content with where you're at, but saying, God, I want to launch into the deep and never look back again in Jesus' name. God's looking for that kind of people who are desperate, who are hungry for more of him. And I'm just asking you, are you hungry for that kind of miraculous power to move in your life? Because it's not just for you, it's for people who aren't here yet, for people that don't know the Lord, for people who are sick in our city that need God's healing touch. And they're waiting on us. And you have to excuse me for being a little passionate today, but this has been stirring in my heart and in my spirit so much that God, grow us in our faith, mature us to believe you for more. And to not just settle with how everything's going, but to know that you really do have greater things. And God, we desire to be a church to taste and walk in the greater things. Amen, Pastor. All right. So don't limit God. Don't limit him to the size of your brain. I remember 5 years ago when I moved my family to this city. And I remember people telling us that we couldn't, that this church would never be a possibility. I remember people lining up, man, people that we knew and said, you'll fail. I met with people even in this city that had a short meeting with me and said, oh, it's another church. We're not going to meet with you. I remember that like it was yesterday. But see, when you get a word in your spirit and you know something is from God, you will not be swayed from it. And so I thought, well, God, you know, there's a lot of negativity. And I know I thought I heard your voice. And God said, you did. Keep trucking. Keep moving. I'm with you. And I remember I thought, man, Lord, if this is ever going to happen, it'll be a miracle. It'll be a miracle. Lord, we don't know anybody. And this isn't about me. Please don't hear this when I'm saying this today. This ain't got nothing to do. We're just glad to be a part of this journey and a vessel to be used. But I remember, man, Lord, if we were able to launch the first service, it'll be a miracle. At least we can say we had one service and maybe have two if we're lucky. But you know how cool God is. He said, no, I got more planned for Elevate City than just a week. And all of a sudden in 2 weeks, we're getting ready to celebrate 4 years. Are you kidding me? And I remember, listen to me. Remember people sitting. I remember a person told me this. So this is Fort Wayne's a church planter graveyard. You don't want to plant a church here. And man, that messed me up. I went back mad. I never want to meet with you again. Love you in Jesus' name. But you know, I just, Lord have mercy. But when God speaks something, I'm telling somebody needs to hear what I'm saying today. He has spoken some things to some of us. Some of us just need to dream and know. Believe in faith and don't quit asking. Keep believing for greater things. We ain't done yet as a church. There's more to come for this church and for your life and your family. I'm telling you, the best is yet to come. Look at the person next to you and tell them the best is yet to come. Mark 10. Says Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. Oh, people are going to tell you it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Come on, church, shout, all things are possible. Last one here. Number four is you got to expect the best. Expect the best. It's going to happen. It's going on, yeah. For some of you believing for healing in your bodies, I'm declaring over you right now, you're going to be healed. It's going to happen. It's going to happen in Jesus' name. The trips back and forth to the doctor, in Jesus' name, you're going to be healed. Amen, everybody? Your family's going to be restored in Jesus' name. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. You just got to believe. You got to believe. You got to believe. Don't quit believing. Even in the darkest hour when it seems bleak and it doesn't seem like it's going to work. But God, and knowing that he's going to work on your behalf, you just got to continue to believe. Even when it doesn't make sense, know he's working. John 10:2, it says, everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now. Don't doubt your God. Let's raise our level of faith. And then I dedicate this last verse to every single person in this room because you need to be encouraged by this. Out of the Message Bible 11, Ephesians 3:20, God can do anything. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us, notice this, around, but how? By working within us. His spirit deeply and gently within us. Come on, he's going to do it. Bow your head where you're at. Father, I thank you right now that you will stir up the faith of all of us in this room. We're not going to quit asking. We certainly will not quit believing for you to do the miraculous in our lives, in our families, in our workplaces, in our homes, Lord, in the marketplace, wherever, and right here in the local church. God, we just declare you are God. Do it, Lord. God, help us to believe. Help us to now live in that posture of faith and trusting you. If you're here this morning, I want to ask you, if you don't know the Lord and don't have a personal relationship with him, I want to give you an opportunity right now. I'm not talking about joining a religion. I'm talking about joining in an authentic relationship with Jesus. You don't have to wait till Easter Sunday to do that. You can do that right here today. For some of us here, maybe we've just drifted from God and we have realized, man, I don't even know how I got there, Kyle. It doesn't matter. All God is focused on right here is this moment with you. And for some of us, we just need to recommit and come back together again with the Lord. And he's waiting. He loves you. He is madly in love with you. So all over this room with every head bowed, come on, don't worry about the person you're right on your left. I'm asking you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to do anything else but that. On the count of three, come on, I want you to get real honest with you and God. With you and God all over this room. One, two, three, all over this place. Come on, no hesitation. Thank you, sir. Come on, keep them high so I can see them. Thank you so much in the back. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Awesome. Thank you, ma'am. Amen. Praise God. Anybody else says that's me? Awesome. Thank you, sir. See you. Proud of you. Thank you, ma'am. Awesome. And people for the first time, awesome. Come on, we're going to pray this prayer together. And just believe in your heart, Scripture says, and confess with your mouth. Come on, Elevate. Let's pray together with these guys. Jesus, we give you our life. Now let's make it real personal. Lord, I give you everything. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my past. Today I am born again. Lord, I thank you for your purpose and plan for me. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen.